Welcome back to today's podcast. Today, my friend Margot is joining me, and her husband and children, they came and visited us for a few days. So we recorded a video together, and if you want to watch the video, I will have it linked below. Margot talks about the dress that she is wearing. So if you want to see her dress, you can click on the link to the video. But today we are talking about wearing dresses, why she changed her wardrobe to wearing dresses, and then we also talk about living slowly, especially when you have little children. And it's so encouraging, so I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello, welcome to today's video. I have my very special friend Margot with me. This has been a long time coming video. If you watched my learning to wear dresses video, I talked about Margot and the inspiration that she has been to me with learning to wear dresses. And her and Riley are visiting us for a few days.
Yes! Yeah, we're actually vacationing to see you guys. Yeah, that's exactly how special you are to us.
That's right. Yes.
So we're obviously very excited to be here.
Yes. We're so thankful. And Margot and Riley have three kids.
Yeah, I have a almost one-year-old. His name is Malachi. And then a three-year-old and a five-year-old. My three-year-old's a boy. His name's Atticus. And Imogen, she's my five-year-old. She's my oldest, so...
They're so fun.
Living the little life. Craziness, but good craziness.
Yes. So in that video of learning to wear dresses, I talked about how so 2 years ago, we went out to live with Margot and Riley. They were renovating their house in Illinois. And so we came to join them because Scott's going to help Riley do the housework. So then I got to live with you and the kids. And
for 2 months.
Yeah. Which was so much fun. Yeah. And I think at that point I was on the beginning stages of knowing Scott liked me wearing dresses and having the desire to wear dresses, but also feeling like I was a fraud or trying to be something you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't feel like me. And so being around you that month, I learned so much about practicality of wearing dresses and also a why that I had never thought of. So that was my journey with like coming into this, and then living with Margot and Imogen was so encouraging. So what is your journey? Have you always worn dresses?
No. My mom wanted to raise me as like her little daughter, her little princess that like wore dresses from like a little age. And she said all I would ever wear is swimsuits.
Hilarious. Like all the time.
All the time. She said in the winter, she had to like put my clothes over my swimsuit because that's all I really wanted to wear was swimming suits.
Hilarious.
And I was a gymnast, so I think that kind of went with it. You know, like the leotard, the swimming suit thing. But anyways, I was not the dress girl. Like she wanted that so bad for my life, and it was not me. So it did not come natural to me at all. Yeah, so when I was little, my mom, she wanted to put me in the dresses, and I was like, no swimsuit. So I had to really fight my natural tendencies for that. And I can't exactly pinpoint when it was that I decided, like, oh, I want to be dressed more feminine. I think it was, well, I had a daughter, and I started maybe thinking through, okay, how do I want to raise my daughter in this culture and in this society? And I read the book. I think more of my mindset may have started out as modesty. Like, what is modesty? And then it kind of transformed into, like, okay, I got a picture of modesty through the book. I think it's called America Undressed. Do you know what book I'm referring to?
You can tell me and I'll link it.
Okay, and you'll link it in there. Okay.
Margot told me about thrift books, so is how my thrift book journey has begun. You were the first one to tell me about
this. Was I really? Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it helps you stock your library.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to know about thrift books.
Yes. So we'll link whatever the name is below.
Okay.
We'll link that below.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, that helps me get a picture of modesty for her. But then also in that was not just modesty, but just being a woman and being feminine and what that looks like in our dress. And it is important as women to be feminine, and it is literally like what we dress, and like modesty is like what we wear.
It's all one.
It's all one. Yeah, you can't really separate the two, like modesty and femininity. So I think it was back when my husband and I moved to his parents' farm and ranch. And I think it was also just like the separation from like maybe old friends and out in the middle of nowhere that like I could do this. Like it gave me the courage. Create a new me.
Because what were you? Like just normal? Okay, yes.
Like the very typical like hipster millennial athlete. So you and I both come from athletic backgrounds. Yeah. So I don't know. It was like sweatpants, tights,
shorts,
like all the shorts. And then also like pretty manly. And I didn't realize how manly I was dressing. Jeans and pretty unflattering things. And my husband would drop like hints of words of like, I don't really like those jeans so much, or like you know, he just
like it's not flattering.
No,
like
flattering.
It's not making like bringing out your beauty. It's like suppressing,
suppressing it. Yeah, and I kind of have like I'm a boy stature too. Like I don't have many curves either. So it's like sometimes I don't think he ever said like very bluntly, but sometimes he may drop the hint of like you look like a teenage boy.
Yeah.
So I think it was finally starting to really settle in. Like this is even dishonoring to my husband. And I need to actually really think about these things and think about them seriously, how they're affecting my daughter, how they're affecting my husband, and just in general, how do I want society to be?
Yeah.
And affecting women as a whole. And
like, how did we get to this point?
To where we can't even really distinguish between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So I started just wearing dresses, and we were in the prairie, like wind blowing, like my mother-in-law like warned me like don't wear wrap dresses because he might flash
blow away.
So
which on that video I actually had several of you guys actually ask how would you do this on a farm or in the wind, and that's when you learned.
Yes, that's the environment that I learned in, and so I had some, you know, I gardened in the dresses, and thankfully it was just like me, my mother-in-law, and my kids, so like I could make mistakes.
Right, figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have wore this long of a dress when we were hauling compost and manure to the garden today, but it worked. Wore a lot of aprons. Trying to think of other things like the appropriate length.
And where did you get that? Like, so you made the decision, I'm going to start learning to wear dresses. Mm-hmm. Did you feel uncomfortable, like, when you first started, or was it?
No, actually, I really liked it. Okay. Like, I was like, okay, I may have felt uncomfortable around certain people.
Like, if you went back to
If I were to go back, but not, like, as for myself. I really love them because they, like, you can grow with you, you know, if you get pregnant or if you're getting slimmer or whatever, and they're easier. It's one entire outfit, so like all I had to do, especially with little kids, like throw my dress on and I'm ready for the day. Like I don't have to pick matching attire and make it look nice or even like accessorize to be very feminine.
Yes.
It can just be like the dress and that's it, and even my hair can be a little disheveled and then like
but the dress is pretty.
Uh-huh.
So it sets the tone.
Sets the tone. Uh-huh. And you can build off of that, like, in certain occasions or whatever.
Now, I do want to stop here and say, because I think when we talk about these things, I think people who don't wear dresses immediately hear this conversation and feel condemnation. Mm. So I do want to make it clear that this is just sharing our journeys. I wanted Margot to share her journey because I found it very inspiring. So this is not to shame or condemn anyone who doesn't want to wear dresses or doesn't have the desire to. This is for those of you who want to, you see other people wearing dresses and you would like to, but you feel like you're a fraud if you try to, or embarrassed, or like that's not your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's what you have to work through.
Right. Like, yeah, I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm not, like, legalistic about this. Like, I have
it's not a sin issue.
Yeah, it's not a sin issue at all. And I have my jeans for the days that we're going to round cows up on the farm. You know, like, or shovel manure. I learned that one already.
Did you try shoveling manure?
Yes, in the dress. So, yes, it is exactly. I think that's a really good clarification of who this is for. And also, a dress isn't exactly, like, the statement of femininity, but it does distinguish you from men. Mm-hmm. Men wear jeans. They do not wear dresses in our society, and so we can, and that's an honor and a privilege. Like, that's cool. So, like, enjoy it.
Embrace it.
Yeah, embrace it. Have fun with it.
And it does make you feel more, like, it doesn't make you feminine, mm-hmm. but it can make you feel more feminine mm-hmm. when you're wearing a dress.
Yes.
It already, like, wow, like, I feel pretty. Okay, so then you were on the farm learning, and that was where I wanted to ask, did you just start buying dresses?
Oh, I started making them.
Oh, right away.
Yeah, right away. Okay. Yeah, I think I had a few skirts, maybe just from, like, thrifting or whatever. Really, I didn't have very many, so I was like, well, we weren't making very much money at the time, and dresses can be expensive. Yes. And where we were, thrifting was just not really an option. So I made three from, if you look it up online, it's the Hinterland dress online. Pattern, and it's just a really simple, like, button placket and skirt and, you know, sleeves, and it's really pretty simple, beginner friendly, and it does have buttons.
So you bought the pattern?
Bought the pattern, and then I always have fabric, but, like, and I was like, okay, I made, like, three of the same pattern. My mother-in-law was like, you don't want to look midnight, Margo, where they're, like, all
hilarious. the same dress, different patterns.
But I was like, you know what, Oh, that's fine with me.
Yes. You're like, I'm learning how to...
like, learning how to wear these dresses. And this one works, so we'll stick with it.
Yes.
I'll expand from there.
Okay, so then with sewing, because you sewed all your dresses, how did you learn how to sew?
Oh, I took a home ec class back in, like, middle school. But that was, like, the very foundation.
That's how you
learned.
Like,
that's where I learned initially. I probably didn't touch my sewing machine for years. I'm trying to think if I ever sewed in high school, really. Like, we did three projects in that home ec class, you know, like an apron, a pillowcase, and, like, pajama pants. I think it wasn't until college my mother-in-law gifted me this beautiful, it was her great aunt's sewing machine back in the 50s. It's, like, the cast iron, green, beautiful thing. And so then I was like, I have to learn.
And it was still working.
Yes, I got it serviced. And I recommend if you're ever starting sewing, get your tools really nice. So that the task of sewing goes well for you, and if you're struggling with the task of sewing, you're not struggling with your tools at the same time. So like oiled machines or like good belts, so things don't like get caught up and you like end up, you know, like ruining your fabric or something and get really discouraged and stop. So like it's worth the $50 or whatever it costs to just get your machine serviced and like good to go.
Okay.
And there's a lot of like local vacuum and sewing machine repair places. Yes, that you can just go take your sewing machine to and they'll oil it and switch belts out and fix it up, make sure it's running smooth.
And that's what you did with your old one.
I did. And they really didn't have to do a whole lot to it. Like my mother-in-law's great aunt took good care of it. But I just wanted to be sure, okay, we're good to go. I can sew on this machine and not have problems with it.
And then what did you start with? Like, did you just decide one day you wanted to sew again?
I think so.
This was after you were married.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I can't even remember maybe what my first project was. But I did probably baby clothes.
Okay.
I think when I found out when I was pregnant with Imogen, I'm sure I like started like that really was a big motivator for me.
Yeah.
Bonnets and little dresses and things like that. So.
Okay, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. So then you started sewing your own dresses. The story that impacted me the most was the story with Imogen when what she said to you.
Yes. I think she's gonna. What do you need, baby?
Have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Careful with what you touch. You look pretty muddy.
Hilarious. She'll be okay.
One day, I think it was maybe when we were in the camper, actually, when you were with us.
Okay.
I had put on a really baggy, like super baggy sweatshirt. And my husband had made the remark to me, like, this, that's not very flattering. But I wore it anyways. I don't know why.
It's comfortable.
Yes. Super comfy.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like you're in a pillowcase or a sleeping bag. And, she had, like, she was three at the time. Just three. And she came up to me and she was like, Mom, why are you wearing Daddy's clothes? You look like a man. I was like,
what?
Well, for one, she noticed that I wasn't presentable and I didn't look like a woman. And she could verbalize it at three.
Yes.
It was really impactful for me to be like, oh, you know, it matters. It does. It really does matter to her how I'm presenting myself and what, like.
She's aware.
Yeah. Completely aware of the standard of, you know, beauty and femininity. It's enough to make a remark towards me. I was telling Kelly just this morning when we were in the hotel, we were eating breakfast and behind us was the news, a big loud screen of news. And a woman was doing something, saying something. And she made the comment. She goes, "Dad, why is that lady talking in a man's voice?"
Which is so true. And for her to notice it as a five-year-old.
A five-year-old. Yeah. Like, she very, very well knew. Like, she's intentionally trying to do a man's task with manly voice.
Yes. You know? And that there's a difference.
Uh-huh.
Like, between men and women.
Yes. Like, very clearly to her.
We look different. We should act different. We should talk different.
Yes.
And she notices that.
She notices. It's and like a natural thing.
I was never aware of that to the extent until we were in Illinois. And I had very few dresses at this time when we were staying with you. I think I maybe had like two or three. Mm-hmm. So I mostly wore jeans when I was with you and like sweaters and stuff.
A very nice shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but when I'm trying to think, there was one floral dress that I would wear, and Imogen was like, "Your dress is so pretty." Like, every time
I would
wear that dress, mm-hmm. and I'm like, she is paying attention to what I'm wearing,
mm-hmm.
and like, she likes the pretty things.
Yes.
Like, notices mm-hmm. pretty.
Yes.
And I just have never even connected that before, that mm-hmm. what we wear as like adult women, little girls are paying attention to.
Yes. And did you feel like the transition was hard? Did you feel like getting dressed and being more beautiful, is it a hard thing?
So I didn't feel that was hard. Yeah. I felt it was overcoming, like, because of the sports background,
mm-hmm.
my mindset was like, I'm known as wearing sloppy clothes. Like, that's the mental image I have of myself. And it's embarrassing to, like, I'm trying to be someone that I'm not if mm-hmm. I wear dresses.
Yeah.
I think that's what and I still sometimes struggle with that feeling. And I think it is just this idea of who I spent so much time of my life as. And now it's like, actually, you can wear dresses and it's not your identity. Like, wearing mm-hmm. dresses or not wearing dresses. Mm-hmm. It's just what you wear and, like, presenting yourself. And that's what Scott's really encouraged me, because he's like, how we present ourselves is honoring people around us. Like,
mm-hmm.
how you show yourself up as, like, it's honoring to Scott how I present myself in public. It's honoring to our church how I go to church. And it's honoring to the random people out in public. And we were just talking yesterday, because Margo had a dress on yesterday that she made, which was this beautiful green dress. You actually made this dress. You should stand up back here and see. You can share the story of this dress.
Okay, if you look up Christy Dawn, I think it's a fall collection dress. I tried to copy it.
You did copy it. I'll put the screenshot up of what the dress was that you were inspired by.
Created this for myself.
Yes. And you used the fabric that you had.
I used the fabric that I had. So these are things. Imogen, my daughter, she looks at this and she goes, "Oh, I have a dress in that." And, "Oh, you have a dress in this," or whatever. Or
it's like pieces of all of your other ones.
Yes.
And it's so beautiful.
Thank you.
And you were telling me yesterday that you make your dresses, like, that way they can adjust for the season that you're in. Like, a breastfeeding-friendly dress.
Yes.
And as you get pregnant, uh-huh. you can still wear the dress that you made.
Yeah, I can really customize it to what my needs are, being a nursing mom or a pregnant mom or whatever. And just being able to make it myself, it can be more affordable.
Yeah.
And
because the dress you had on yesterday, I asked you, it was a 100% linen dress.
Yeah.
And you said it cost $40.
$40, yeah.
And that would cost
hundreds of dollars. So
at least 200 mm-hmm. if you were to buy it. Which we were also talking about the prices of natural fiber dresses.
Yes.
But you knowing the amount of time it takes to make them, it's like, makes sense.
Yeah.
Why they cost how much they do.
Yeah. Just the materials and then the time it takes, you would understand like why someone would charge that much. That's why I'm not like making them to sell them or anything, but it makes economic sense for me to make them for myself and my daughter, because then the time is, you know, I have the time.
Yes.
I can create the time in my
which myself. Brings yes, us into yeah. the next thing. So I get a lot of questions about if you have kids, how could you do all of these things? And I haven't been blessed with kids yet, but you have three little ones, and mm-hmm. you still are creative.
Yes. I was talking to my husband about this the other night, and it's honestly part of my personality, too, of, like, I can't help it. Like, I have to create, and I have to make something that's longer lasting than a clean kitchen floor.
Yeah, that's so good.
Like something that does, you know, I'm able to create and contribute a gift to our family that's longer lasting. And so I make the time to sew, and I knit, and I'm learning to crochet. I also spin now, and we've always had some livestock in our lives. So I do and gardening and
yes.
make food from scratch. And I am still, I'm not superwoman. Like, I'm not one of those, like, go all the time people yeah. personalities either. I want to say that. And I also want to say, like, we also can't do it all.
Yeah.
You know, things.
Yeah, like, you're not saying this, but like, look at all that I do. It's just, you can still choose. Because mm-hmm. you don't do some things mm-hmm. to make time for the things that you want to do.
Exactly. So just choosing your priorities. And I think a big part of it is like plotting, like doing things in small time pockets that you have. Like if maybe today is learning, like reading my sewing machine manual just to know how to thread it. Or like when I learned to spin, I spent like probably several weeks on plying, you know, okay. just like learning the very simple task of plying. Just like maybe while I was nursing, I'd watch a YouTube video. And, you know, it's kind of also just like how you prioritize reading your Bible when you have little yeah. kids or a busy life. Like I may get 2 minutes here, one page or two verses there. Yeah. So being okay with like not like starting a task and not finishing it right away, especially when your life has like you do have, especially with little kids, you've got priorities like changing diapers and yes. sleep and eating and all that stuff. So you got to get those things done and a relatively clean floor.
Yes.
And then fit it in there like as you can. Certain seasons are more adaptive than others. But yeah, you can choose to make time for your interests. And I think it's, for us, it's what I've seen, it's healthy, like even just bringing along my kids into that, they don't see like it's like a complete always just like a circle of like, oh, I'm growing up and I'm learning all these things just to, so that I can like give my life to like help other my kids do all these things, you know, like you're not, it doesn't feel wasteful when you can still like roll the ball forward and be creative and like give they're to involved. Your family, and they get brought along in it and they're involved. Like Imogen, she's learning to finger knit and loves it, and I have desires of, like, great big desires of bringing them into, like, a small Etsy business or something yes. like that. And Atticus's interest, like, he's always watching my sewing machine. Like, how is this working? And he'll ask me, like, where's the thread coming from? Or,
interesting.
Like, and he'll say, like, is that a stitch on your clothes? I'm like yes.
paying attention.
And, of course, he does very much the same for Riley and his work, my husband.
So, like, your kids aren't separate from it. They're
no,
part
it's
of just it. All part of the daily.
Yes. And I've thought about this very clearly before of like right now their stage is just kind of like a little bit of watching and lots of play because Imogen, my oldest, is 5. So play is a huge aspect of her life right
so
now.
True.
Free play. And so some of it is like she just, I get my scraps out and dump them out and they like play in the scrap fabric,
yeah.
make a huge mess while I'm, you know, sewing something. Like to them, that's very life-giving and like really good for our family.
And they're watching you do things, like seeing you do things,
mm-hmm.
which I think is so cool. Seeing the women in our generation getting back into all these skills
mm-hmm.
that the children of our generation, this will be normal for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it skipped generations. Like our parents, like it ended with like our great-grandparents. And then we all, like women all went off to work, lost a whole bunch of skills. And like, praise God, some of them did. Like my mom sews and
mm-hmm.
my mom crochets. So I grew up seeing that. But even more so now, like seeing, I think kids being homeschooled,
mm-hmm.
being able to see you do things.
Because
yeah. you guys do plan on homeschooling.
We do, yeah. And are starting some with Imogen, yeah. And that is my hope. I hope that she like casts a vision for like slower living and quality products and
yeah.
beautiful home life and a nostalgic upbringing, all those beautiful things.
Yeah.
Like I hope she catches that through that type of lifestyle, those things that we've lost through fast fashion, you know, fast living, fast food,
yes.
fast everything.
Yes. Yeah. Which, okay, one of you asked me, or didn't ask, actually commented on one of my videos and said something to the point of, you can live slowly if you don't have children. If you have children, the moment children come in the mix, there's like living slowly is not easy. Yeah. But you just used the term living slowly.
Yeah, yeah. In some aspects, it's fast. The kids run fast in the house.
But exactly. But you're home. Yeah, like, that is slow.
That is
like,
slow.
You're not running around doing busy stuff.
No.
Mm-mm. You choose what your days look like.
Yes, yes, yes. I get to set the pace. For sure.
And with, like, being a helpmate, it's unique to every husband's mission.
Yes, very unique to every husband's.
And so, like, I would say for you, like, you have learned flexibility and adaptability to wherever you guys go, wherever you move. Like, there's still stability within your home because of the atmosphere you create for your kids. Mm. Like, even with you guys traveling around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we move every year, for sure every other year. We've moved since we've been married and definitely since we've had kids. And so I still do these things somehow, by God's grace. I still try to, you know, get these things in my life, and I do, and try to create rhythms and, you know, I don't know what the word is. Just to keep
like that. A culture.
That's a good word for it. To be able to have like the family unit together, working together and being together and still feeling slow despite like our life being on the move so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And building things for your home. Even when you're like transitioning homes.
Uh-huh.
Everything you're doing is still very home economy based.
Yes, yeah, and that serves the family. Like, I knit my children mittens, and they ask for them. They love them. And, like, their mittens on the string, so they go through the jacket so they can't lose them when they take them off.
And you, when we were in Illinois, you knitted Atticus's little, what do you call it?
A balaclava.
Yes.
Like the ones, and he loves it and he wears it all the time.
So
and
cute.
I just knitted Malachi his for the year. I have to show you a picture of it. Yeah, they serve the family and the kids love it. And yeah, and they get to watch me make it. So they do also get to see like and appreciate the work and the effort that mom gets to put into this, and they feel loved by it.
And I do want to say also, because with, again, I think the blessing of being a homemaker is being able to adapt to your husband's lifestyle.
Yes.
Whatever the need is,
whatever
you can
is.
Pick up and go and move.
Mm-hmm.
And still, because people will come and say, like, well, you've lost yourself. Like, you don't have an identity anymore. And, or, like, your interests don't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and again, those come from obviously people who've never experienced this lifestyle, because I would say it's the opposite. Because you live so flexibly, like, there, Riley's more than happy for you to spend the time you want to do doing the hobbies you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is, I was even thinking with your basket, like, with the willow, like, you ordering the willows.
Yeah.
And you don't have your home yet.
Yeah. Right?
Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You actually have more freedom by being your husband's helpmate than you would if you were working for someone else.
It's so true. And he cares about it. He's not like a boss like, I want you doing this task right now and only this task and no distractions. Like, he wants me to feel like I'm I don't know, fulfilled or enjoying taking care of the home and serving our family. So sometimes it does look like I don't get to do any knitting for a month, maybe, like, when we're in, like, the
season,
deep of the renovation that my husband flips homes, like, when we're in the thick of it and he wants me to help just run a broom.
Yes.
And I do, you know, take care of the kids, feed us, and run a broom. Like, that's my job. But then, like, he does really want us to have that, like, lavish life and it to be beautiful and to our kids to be happy and, like, it to be very joyful and enjoyable.
Yeah.
He wants that. So he cares about, like, let's go to the yarn store or, you know, like, here's some extra cash, buy some extra yarn or whatever.
Right.
Or buy the willow.
Yes. That
here, we don't have the land yet, but
we're
making my baskets that I don't have the land yet for, but we will have, so...
So preparing in advance.
Yeah, and being willing to dream, like, that's fun. The home, and being in the home, it's, and the things to do in it are vast. Like, unreachable. The ends are, like, I could come up with 1,000 ideas of things that I would still love to pursue. And, like, you think, like, you may be listening to this, or maybe someone is, and they're thinking, like, I don't like sewing or knitting or crocheting. That doesn't sound appealing to me at all. But maybe you are really interested in herbal medicine or just like medicine in general. And that is so needed and serve your family immensely if you can take care of wounds because sickness happens. Or like I could just, you could go on forever of all the things that you could pursue. The opportunities. The things that you could pursue that are, are a gift of yours and they would serve your family and they would be fun. You would enjoy them. Like some people really, really, really get into cooking or baking or cabinet building. Like I see that on Instagram, like women like building, you know, displays for their pantry.
The woodworking stuff.
The woodworking stuff, yes. Or anything, gardens, flower gardens.
Yes.
Like, I feel like Instagram's a good place of finding those things where women pursue those skills. Like
I was going to say, you use social media very well.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like you use it to expand your, like, what is the next thing I want to learn how to do?
Yeah.
Like, it's a vision board.
It is a vision board for me. Yeah.
Which is a good way to use social media because then you're using it not as a distraction or an escape, but it's like, I want to do this.
Uh-huh.
Because that is that how you got into your basket, like your desire to do basket weaving?
Yes, I actually just saw somebody on Instagram doing it in the States. I thought it was only something that you could do somewhere else, like Europe.
Yeah.
Which is mostly where people weave baskets, but like there was someone doing it in the States and I was like, you can grow willow and do that here. And so then I started the research, you know, rabbit hole.
Yes.
And here we are. I'm about to buy some willow and make my own baskets. But I was telling Kelly about that. Instagram can be a huge distraction. It's just a tool, though, and you can use it wisely, and admittedly, sometimes it can be very distracting for
right.
me, but, like, I try to make it something that, like, expands my vision for the home.
It doesn't have to be negative.
It doesn't
like,
have
it
to
can be used to mm-hmm. create a vision, and to be inspired.
And to be inspired, and those that post, that's generous of them to show that to you, and you can use it for your own life. Use it to bless yourself,
yes.
to bless your family.
You encourage me that a lot with anything you want to learn how to do. It's like, YouTube it. Like, just look it up. Like, just figure out how to do it. You can learn anything.
Yeah.
Like, just go
and
for it.
And you have, and you've done a really good job at it.
Like, winging it as I've gone.
And I can't remember when you were living with me, like, it was just the beginning of your sourdough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that, now you're, like, you're way ahead of me on sourdough. And I'm like, well, Kelly, tell me more.
I still don't feel way ahead. I still feel like I'm very much winging it. But the fresh milled side of things, I feel like I've... Because I just bought the grain mill. No, I didn't even have the grain mill yet.
You were almost about to purchase
it. That's right.
You had decided what you were going to do.
Yeah, that was right. That's so true. Yeah. And just do it. I think that's the thing. Like,
yeah, just do it.
Well, and that's what we were talking about yesterday, is, like, fear with wearing dresses, mm-hmm. with learning new skills, creativity. I think it's fear that, like, stops you from actually doing it. It's easy to keep, like, following a whole bunch of people on Instagram and seeing what they're doing.
And doing, like, it really well.
You want to do it, mm-hmm. but it's like, I'm intimidated by doing this. I'm intimidated by wearing dresses. And then, instead, it's like, do it anyways. Messy.
Yeah.
Like, even if you mess up.
Uh-huh. Do it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just try and learn. Learn from your failures. Learn from your mistakes.
And with knitting, that's what you also taught me was figure out, like, a project you want to do. Because when we were living together, Margot taught me how to knit. And she's like, find the finished, like, project, like a headband. That's mm-hmm. what you started me out with.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was a achievable thing. Instead of me just, learning how to do a knit and a purl back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that ends in no goal because I'm just going to be sitting here all day thinking I'm never going to be good enough to actually make anything. But you're like, find something you want to make
mm-hmm.
and then do it.
Yeah. And that's fine.
And because then you mm-hmm. achieve something,
yeah.
especially small. Like a headband is like the easiest thing.
Uh-huh.
And I felt so accomplished that I did it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's how it is with cooking. Like, just try it.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't have to be Instagram worthy, and like, your husband's probably going to be like, this is awesome, I can wear this,
so
or whatever. I'll eat that burnt food, at least my husband does.
Yes, that's so true.
The comfort and security of your husband is a huge valuable blessing.
Yes, confident building.
Confident building.
Okay, is there any book... This is random.
Okay.
I haven't prepared you for this.
Okay, go for it.
One of your favorite books that you could recommend that you feel has really impacted your life?
Any. Oh, my.
Or a few.
Let me think about it.
Yeah, I caught you off guard with this, but I feel like it's...
one that we talk about this fairly often, yes, because I was actually going to ask you some of the things that you've been reading recently, but probably one of my favorite books I've ever read is Homemaking by J.R. Miller. Like, and yes. I shared that one with you. There's just so many things in that book that are just absolutely beautiful and a really awesome vision for the home and what it can be. And not just, like, now, but later in life, too. So that's probably, like, a foundational book.
I remember you sharing, and I bought it after you had told me about it. And it's an old book.
Old book. I can't remember when it was published, but
I feel like
100
it was,
years.
Yeah, early 1900s or even late 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just finished Mabel Hale's book called Beautiful Girlhood, mm-hmm. and I wanted to recommend it to you because I read it for, like, Imogen, but it's written over 100 years ago, and wow. it's about, like, being a girl and growing up into a woman. And it is so beautiful, and it casts a really great vision for what, like, things that we may have missed out on in femininity through our childhood, and kind of things that culture has attacked and made disappear. It's brought back in that book, and so it was really inspiring for me and something that I'm going to have Imogen read when she gets older.
Okay, so that was called?
Beautiful Girlhood, and the other one was Homemaking.
Okay, I'll have those listed below, too. And it's funny, those are both very old
books. I like the old writings.
Yeah, it's a different language.
Different language. And it feels like, I feel like it can take you out of our culture. And, like, get you out of your blind spots. Because going back to dresses, like, as soon as I did start wearing dresses, as simple as it is, like, it really was dresses, it made me realize, like, how androgynous I was with my hair and my makeup and my clothing. Like, someone may have mistaken me for a teenage boy on the streets a few times with the way I was dressing.
I looked at a picture of myself the other day. I had a drug rug on and, like, a beanie, and I was like, I can't believe I ever got a husband looking like that.
Like, I have my moments.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
My past, yeah.
But I'm like, praise God. Like, and I think that's also, like, the Holy Spirit's gentle in how he leads us. I like sharing these testimonies because I think it's encouraging to hear testimonies, but I really do think it is, like, the Holy Spirit that prompts us on the journey. And that's not to say, like, someone's feminine clothing might look different than dresses. Like, we're not saying that the Holy Spirit will prompt you to wear dresses.
Right? He will prompt you to be feminine.
Yeah.
If you're a woman, he will prompt you to be feminine. That is, like, very clear in Scripture that there are distinguishing factors between men and women. And dress is, like, that's just easy, you know?
It's an easy way to embrace that.
Yeah.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. And then when you said, like, the androgyny, you said, like, it helped your overall outward, but would you say it also, like, inwardly, like the beginning of wearing dresses and setting yourself apart, like, as feminine, like, did you feel like an attitude change or... do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did. Like, it's subtle, but, like even just the way I kind of, like, I don't know, if I didn't get myself ready for the day and I wore sweats and my hair was in a mess and not wearing makeup but for my children and I'm trying to lead my children in the day, like, I felt like my attitude wasn't up there and my, just my kindness and my gentleness or even, like, my willingness to do the right thing. Just because, you know, like, I didn't take that extra step forward to, like...
Set the...
Yeah.
I felt that.
I did, yeah. I think it was a real thing. Like,
yeah.
And even just kind of the way people look at our family when we're out or, like, just get a little bit more respect because we're respecting ourselves, like, with the way that we present ourselves to them.
You said yesterday we were talking that there's a lady that asked you, is this a religious thing in your town?
Yes.
Because she's just so used to seeing you wearing
dresses. it's funny with her because I felt like I often saw her a bit of a mess just because I was huge pregnant most of the time when I saw her. And she asked me if it was a religious thing. But she was, like, being really nice and, like, she was trying to, like, just be inquisitive. Like, why do you dress the way you dress? And I was just like, no... But it is. Like, it's not a legalistic thing, but it is, like, I want to be obedient in being feminine. And so this is my outward way of expressing it.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to end this. Yeah. I hope that you guys liked this and that you enjoyed all of Margot's wisdom. It's fun. It's fun talking to you. It's inspiring to hear your journey and like what you're doing with the work of your hands.
Okay.
So thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having me, Margot.
And we hope that you guys have a lovely rest of your day.
If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.